So let's now pick up from when James brought me on as chief operating officer to today and kind of how things got started and why you're all here today. So let me give you a little bit more history on how this whole thing got going so you can connect the dots as we move forward over the next couple of days. So as I say, this all starts with your vision. I mean, as entrepreneurs, we all have a vision, right? How many of you built a house before? Anybody? Show of hands. You have an architect. You give them your vision, and for some just amazing thing happens. They put this thing together called a blueprint. And then when you have a great construction team, and they actually follow the blueprint, and they follow it exactly the way it was written, and they take action and build something, it's amazing what ends up with that home that you built. But it started with a vision. Did your business start with a vision? Yes. Did you follow a blueprint, at least up until today, to some degree? Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you take action and actually create your business and start doing something with it? Yes. The question is that business built on a solid foundation? And if it's not, or if it is, guess what? The foundation can always get better. And that's really the interpretation of why we created the Entrepreneur Operations Blueprint. Because if you think about it, your operations of your business is really the foundation of not just your business, but it's a solid foundation of the home you live in as well. Think about that for a minute. Operations really help support your marketing and sales efforts, your customer service efforts, your affiliate joint venture relationships, your shipping and fulfillment, your finance, and finally, and probably most important, is those customers that complete the picture. Would you agree with that? In your action guide, you can actually flip it open because you guys can get ready to start cranking here with me. I will also tell you that I have built in parts where I'm going to give you time in the safe zone. And what I mean by that is this. One of the things I wanted to do differently when I agreed to do this with James was that this is not going to be a traditional seminar where it's a fire hose and I'm just going to spray you with a bunch of information and say, hey, how'd that feel? Because I've been on the receiving end of that fire hose, and what I wish would have happened was during that time, I would have had the time to pick the three drops of what I really needed to implement. Because I didn't need the whole fire hose. I needed it, but not right this minute, but I needed the three drops. So what I've built into the program is there'll be points where we're going to kind of give you the time. I'm going to serve you by giving you the time in the safe environment to write down and really think about the things you need to think of before you go back out there. Because as we know, when we go back out there, what happens? Everything happens. I mean, can you give me a word of what happens when you go back out there in that world, Elaine? What's everything? It just, things just start hitting you. So
3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, we don't want 3 hours of sleep. So we're going to build that in, and we're going to have portions where we're going to definitely give you time to get that in your book. So you're going to also have a chance to learn from each other, and that's all built into the program. So you're not just going to learn from me, you're going to learn from each other, and I think that's the best way to learn. I've got some great ideas, great strategies, techniques that worked over those 22 years, but you may get one more bonus from someone else in this room. So I'm going to give you the luxury to hear from them. So how this whole Entrepreneur Operations Blueprint thing gets started? I was in a mastermind meeting with James's coaching members. James had asked me to present some information on operations, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, these guys all know this stuff. He's like, I didn't exactly laugh like that, but I'm like, I really don't think, I'd rather just sit in the back and just contribute to the mastermind meeting like I've always done. People don't need this stuff. He's like, well, just, you know, as he's always really good at this as a coach, you guys know, he says, well, you know, just humor me. Just go give it a shot. Just make up some stuff if you're up there. Okay, I'll do it. So, get up there, and I start presenting. I don't know if it was Smokey the Bear or if it was Fire Yourself, but one of the concepts I've used for years, and like everyone's on the edge of their seat. I'm like, look, they either got to go to the restroom really bad or they really like what I'm saying. So I just kept going and kept flowing. And at the end of that, James says, you know, why don't we just put together a little survey and just find out what's on everyone's mind from an operations perspective. Teaching point. If you think you have something people want, before you start building it, just ask them. Here's the questions. How many of you filled out that survey, by the way? Oh, good. Probably why you're here. What's your biggest operational challenge? How much money do you think you're losing every year because you haven't addressed it and something else I can't remember? And like the first thing is everybody filled out the form, which is a good clue. It's called a clue. If everybody's giving you feedback that they're having a problem, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm starting to believe this a little bit. The next thing is we go back and I start analyzing, and this is what came out of that. At least 80% of it was around these items. Email overload. Lack of systems technology. Prioritizing. Not enough time. And finally, hiring and paying people. So this is a real life, multi-million dollar investment to hire a market research firm to see if we should go make this product. Not. That's how it would be done in corporate America. Remember, I'm bilingual. So in corporate America, we would have spent $2 million to get this information. As an entrepreneur, I think I invested about 87 cents, which was the cost of the paper, to actually get it printed at the coffee place down the road to get the survey put together. So teaching point is find out what they want and then go build it. Don't build it first and then go back on the back end. So here's what, after I talked to a few folks in the hallway after analyzing it, this was the common theme I heard. I'm having problems, but in reality, I can make it to the next gas station. In other words, interpretation, I don't really need to deal with that right now. I'll just make it to the next gas station. So I'm like, okay, let's think about that. I've run out of gas 2 times in my life, and that's a pretty crappy feeling. Anybody run out of gas before, ever? So I want you to think in terms of when you did run out of gas, and those of you didn't put your hand up, you know, I still want you to think about this. Hypothetically, of course, if you did run out of gas, what was that feeling? Because your mentality was, I can make it to the next gas station, but once it happens and you run out of gas, it's just a horrible feeling, and it's a lot harder to put gas in your car when you're out as compared to filling up the tank when it's down to an eighth. Would you agree?
Yes.
How's that any different than our business? And God bless you for taking the action to step to actually get here, to stop thinking about, I can make it to the next gas station. You know, folks, what we got to do is we got to stop thinking about making it to the gas station. Because there will be a time, there will be a place, not now because you're here, but for all those poor folks that do not enroll, that they're going to run out of gas soon. And it's going to cost them a lot more time, a lot more stress, and a lot more money to fix those issues that they haven't dealt with. Okay, so here's what we're going to cover. The first thing we're going to talk about is think and mindset, the thoughts, the mindset you have, a little bit about worth and value, and we'll have some exercises in there as well. Section number 2, we're going to move into time and productivity. Section 3, our talents and our team, which covers things like self-funding, hiring, outsourcing expectations. How many of you would like to have an employee that you actually don't end up paying for at all? Anybody interested in that? There you go. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that there. Section number 4, technology and systems. Now, let me just let the cat out of the bag here. Some people have this perception that technology fixes their problems. So what we're going to cover first in that section is the systems you should have in place, and here's the mindset for that section. You have no technology as of now. Poof, it's gone. How would you be doing what you're doing today? I'm going to force you to think that way. Then once you figure out your system and what you should be doing without technology, then you go find your technology to support those efforts. Don't do it like 80% of the entrepreneurs, which is go find a system and put all your chips in one basket or on one bet that say that's going to solve all your problems, and then you find out it's really not. So we're going to cover systems first, and then we're going to talk about technology in that particular section. The next section we're going to talk about is tracking and reporting. A lot of things in that section, but one that's going to come to mind that's probably going to hit you is the cost to serve. And what I mean by that is, how many of you have a coaching program? How many of you have home study courses? How many of you bring people to an event? We're going to talk about what it's costing you to serve those attendees, what it's costing you to serve those coaching members, and really getting you to think a little bit differently about what you're providing them. Is it really value added to them? In other words, if it's taking you 2 or 3 hours to do something for them every week and they see no value in that, but you're paying someone 2 or 3 hours to do that for you, does it really make sense to continue doing that? I'll give you a real-world example of that. In my team of 1,500 at the time, on staff, I acquired 8 financial analysts. You will appreciate this, and you will appreciate this story. And the rest of you will, too, but you'll see where I'm going. I come in, and what do you do? I'm the senior financial analyst. How many of you do we have here? Oh, we have 7 more. We have 8 total. Oh, what do you do? I run reports. Great. What kind of reports do you run? Oh, my goodness, let me just bring you a list. No problem. When do you send most of these reports out? Oh, sir, they go out on the 4th of every month. Great. I said, so here's what you're going to do. First thing is, if you get any flack for this, you tell them to call me, the vice president. You don't listen to any flack for this decision. You tell them that was Mr. Tyberski's decision. And I said, here's what you do, my man. When the 4th comes next month, you don't send any of those reports out. Mr. Tyberski. I said, let me teach you something here, my buddy. I said, I want you to use a technique I've used for years. It's called echo. I want you to echo back what you think I told you. He said, sir, you said not to send these reports on the 4th. And I said, you heard me right, young man. And I was young, too, at the time, but it's always cool to say young man. It's just a cool thing. Young man, you heard me right. So the 4th comes. Guess what happened? No.
Two
phone calls.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's hilarious. Are you ready for a sound? Are you ready to make a sound? You're doing stuff right now that relates to that story. All of you have something right now that you're doing that you think's important, because they thought it was important. They thought it was very important. But the reality said that in the grand scheme of things, it was about 2% important. Reports went out to about 100 people. So we had two people call. So it's about 2%, right? So here's what the call went like. Because I had to be, I'll teach you Smokey the Bear later, but Smokey the Bear had to have a plan in his head. So if I did have 100 people call, what was I going to do? So my plan was this. Rachel, thanks so much for calling me. Look, I'm sorry, you know, I gave them the direction not to send out the report, but here's why. You're so hard to get a hold of. I wanted you to call me because I have one question for you. What can we do to make that report better for you and better serve you? Yeah, you know what? Glad you asked. You never asked me that. Add a column on the right that has the account receivable percentage or whatever they said. No problem. We'll take care of that. But two people called. So I had a 10-minute discussion. 5 minutes with the first person, 5 minutes with the second. But the point of the story is this. We had 8 people. The other thing we do, too, is we have a community calculator, and I'm not a math guy. So anyone want to take in charge of the community calculator that's good with the numbers? Anybody? If you don't, I'll just assign someone. Okay, there you go. Don't think you're going to be off the hook. Okay, so I want you to just do some simple math. Hypothetically, if that was a real story, 8 people times total comp package with salary, benefits, health insurance, et cetera, about $65,000.
$520,000.
$500,000. So, yeah, Elaine's just going to fall off the chair over there. So it's $500,000. Maybe it's 50,000. Maybe it's 5,000. If I gave you 500 extra bucks right now, would you take it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's only 500 for you. Something's happening right now that relates to that story within your own business. Could be an outsourcer, could be someone you're fulfilling with, could be someone on your own team, doesn't matter. But I tell you that story for two reasons. Number one, are you thinking a little bit differently than when you walked in this door? Yes or no? And number two, I tell you that story because the guy that I had the discussion with, my friend John, had a very long career at that company and has decided to go out and do something on his own. So good for him, but we stay in contact. And we actually, it's a good bar story. We kind of, when we get together for a beer, we tell that story, how funny that was. Because, of course, at that time, he was very concerned. You know, what do you mean? You just stop sending it. You can't, we've been... What did John say? What else do you think John said when I told him not to send it out on the 4th? He said, but we've always done it on the 4th. It's always been that way. Guess what? It's always been that way maybe in your business too, but we got to change the way we think about that. Is it okay if once in a while I tell you a story and then break it down to tell you what that means to you? Okay, good. So we'll keep doing that then. All right, in the next section, section 6, is tools, resources, fast tips, and review. As promised, what's going to happen there is a lot of templates I share with you. Once we create the home study course, you guys are going to get a CD of those, and you'll be able to use them and all that cool stuff. And then what I've also done in Section 6 is taken everything from the first 5 sections and I put them into a fast tip for you. So what I'm going to do is bang through in about 15 minutes, 2 days and 15 minutes. So it's kind of like, you know, TiVoing or DVR and something. At the end of the 2 days, I'm going to just give you the 15-minute version of that. Would that be helpful?
Yes.
Okay, very good. You got it. Then I will do that. 80%. 80% is a big number for me. And 80% wasn't a big number for me until I turned 40 years old, because before I was 40, I was a 100% kind of guy. So what do I mean by that? It means that until I was about 40, until I turned 40, I'm just going to go over here and turn this because it's glaring into my eyes. So let's put that like that. So until I turned 40, I woke up every day with the mentality of I've got to please 100% of the people 100% of the time. I've got to have the same 100% in my personal life with my family. I've got to have the same 100% in my spiritual life. And, you know, for 40 years, I carry that with me. And until I turned 40, I realized, you know what, buddy? If you're doing that 8 times out of 10, you ain't doing so bad. You ain't doing so bad at 80%. Now, unless I'm delivering babies or landing airplanes, 80% is a pretty good number. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So I'm giving you permission today that if you're a 100%er like I was, it's okay to be 80%.
Yay!
There you go. It's okay to be 80%. Because the important thing you'll realize when you start firing yourself, yeah, I'm going to ask you to fire yourself before you leave here in the next 2 days. And what you'll realize is, man, you wish you would have looked in the mirror and fired yourself many, many years ago on some of the things we're going to cover. So 80%. So the interpretation of that in the 2 days is, this stuff is going to work how often?
80%
So, bless you, but I don't really want to talk about the 20% stuff. I don't have time, and in reality, you know, there's another program for that if you want to do that. But I'm here to focus on 80% of the stuff. So that's really the, and we'll talk about this more in section two, that's setting the expectation. So, you know, I want to tell you that 8 times out of 10, this stuff's going to be right on for you. But those 2 times that it's not, you know, I don't want to make a big deal of it. I just want to keep moving on so I make sure I deliver 80%. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Deal.
Deal.
The other thing I want you to do for me, if you would be so kind, is I want you to be a parachute. And here's what I mean by being a parachute. I want you to keep your mind open like a parachute, because they only function when they're open. So what that means to you is this. I'm going to put something out there for you, and I don't want you to immediately dismiss it. What I want you to do is think about it and say, how do I tweak that just a little bit to implement that within my own organization? Or you'll hear something from someone at the break, or maybe when we do our hot seats, and you'll go, well, that doesn't apply to me. No, what I want you to do is listen to that like a parachute with an open mind. Keep it open and say, how do I tweak that to possibly implement that within my business? Okay, is that a deal?
Yeah.
You guys do that for me? Perfect.